Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
Hey guys, MC from MC Anime Podcast. We're back with another episode, and we have Crystal back with us today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. How about you?
I can't complain. They don't know about you. What they know, what they should know.
Well, I am an artist on both Twitter and Tumblr, and apparently I'm also writing fan fictions. So, yay. I'm letting my creative side show.
Gotcha. Where can they find you if they want to seek your audience?
They can find me on Twitter at shapeshift16, uppercase the first S. And then it's the same on Tumblr. They can find me on Discord. They can find me on Discord as well.
All right. So with that being said, that's where you can find Ho and the Ho Endeavors. For today's topic is going to be case study, a silent voice. So we're going to combine two different topics into one. We're going to do the month of April being awareness for autism as a whole, and then we're going to study a silent voice and some aspects that could relate to mental health in relation to autism as a case study.
Mm-hmm.
So, not going to say there's an exact match between the two, but there's a connection of mental health and tendencies like it to connect.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to do a little bit of movie testimony back and forth. So, it's going to be personal, but also the movie at the same time. So, let's just jump right into it. What is the month of April trying to celebrate, and what does it actually mean?
April as a whole, as well as April 2nd, if you want to be more specific, is Autism Awareness Month, the month in which many people recognize autism awareness, the autism awareness spectrum. Essentially, anything that falls under that spectrum gets recognized. And it's the only month when you can wear a rainbow and not be seen as pride, since the rainbow is one of the symbols for autistic people.
Okay. So, with it being Autism Awareness Month, do you know kind of a little bit of how it happened?
Autism Awareness Month, no, but I do have a bit of history regarding the disorder.
Okay.
It was researched throughout the 1900s quite a bit. But unfortunately, most of that information, most of that knowledge that was found was locked away because it was either done by someone that we didn't like or was done by a woman. I'm not even kidding. The first research that we could argue is autism was done by a woman and was not regarded as important because she was female.
Oh.
Wait, times do not change at all.
Yeah. Well, Autism Awareness Month has been celebrated in April since 1970. It's when the Autism Society held its first event. The month began as National Autistic Children's Week in 1972. It was officially adopted by Congress in 1984. 2007, the United Nations General Assembly also adopted for World Autism Awareness Day, or April 2nd. So, April 2nd is pretty much historically celebrated as the official day, when the month of April being the World Global Autism Awareness Month.
essentially the U.S. gets it one day, but the rest of the world gets all 30 days, except for the 1st of April. I don't think we're supposed to celebrate on the 1st of April because of April Fool's Day.
Maybe so. So with that being said,
I choose not to bring it up until afterwards.
Well, that's some background of what the month of April celebrates in the month of the awareness category. Now we're going to do a little bit of case study with a silent voice.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to describe Shoko, what I described Shoya?
You're going to have to remind me. I'm bad with the Japanese names. Was that the...
Is the girl who is deaf, partly deaf, or severely deaf. And then Shoya is the one who was the one that maybe has some
characters. You can say the main character. I believe he technically qualifies as the main character. We do focus on him.
Yeah.
And the film is from his perspective, too.
Well, yeah, it's told in his perspective, but the supporting character, the main supporting character is Shoko. What's her friendship?
Yeah. All right. Shoko is the newest student to the class at the time when they were in elementary school.
Yeah.
She was partly deaf. So in order for her to communicate with others, she needed to have a notebook or some kind of paper to write on.
Mm-hmm.
She was bullied is the term I would use for what happened to her, but she was, I've never seen bullying that hard before. I could kind of see a relatability with her. Since I do have an in real life best friend who also has a hearing disability, not to that degree, but she still has to wear hearing aids. So
things, you also have to know if you have an ability to relate or see that your action is bad, then it can be kind of perceived as something else. With Shoya, he actually was bored. So his form of harassing, as I call it, because this was harassment, very extremely, he didn't realize that what it was actually harassment. He was bored. And he was seeking attention to Shoko as a means to entertain himself because he gets bored very easily. It's literally described him having the capacity to fight, to have a war with boredom. So when people say who might have ASD or Asperger's syndrome, they tend to do actions that might be unethical, but they're not realizing that the harm there is actually more than what it should be doing. So with Shoya's standpoint, you kind of have a parallel, him not knowing and him seeking entertainment at the same time.
This would be like someone looking up what a creep wizard, this is a lighter example, this actually is my example, looking up urban legends or ghost stories in middle school because it fascinates you.
Yes.
I have no regrets.
It's really interesting how she plays a part in the movie in understanding herself and where she belongs.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think, in your perception, where she belonged in before the end of the movie? Where do you think she felt like she belonged?
I felt like she probably, I would classify her as a bit of a loner, but she did get a few friends, so depending on how it is, I don't think we saw that many personal interests that she has in the film, so I don't know if I could properly classify her.
Well, I mean, the main interest is the friends that she built along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Her main interest was actually feeding the koi fish by the pond.
With the bread.
With the bread, which is a turning point to the story as an element of bonding between Shoya and Shoka.
Sometimes the most simplest ideas for bonding can ultimately be the best ones. Walk through nature, feeding the ducks. Mm-hmm.
Because Shoya ran into her when she was near the hospital. Because the was right near her house, so the pond was right there.
And if I'm remembering the film correctly, she does that every She did that every Tuesday.
Discipline regimen, as I call it. She was disciplined in the regiment of doing it again every day of the week at a certain time and a certain day.
Right down to the hour.
Well, that's pretty common. If you have certain days to do certain things, you dedicate a day to do certain things. In her case, having a sense of normalcy was really important. So that's why she did it like that.
I mean, we gotta dedicate. Some of us choose to dedicate time for our special interests, so they're not overwhelming us. They're not overwhelming us or being kept in our head, so it can come out.
True, and you also have to understand Shoko's point of view when she is slightly more severely deaf, and her mindset. She once tried to be a friend to all different people. However, she also has a character weakness when she's blaming herself as the victim.
That happens a few times. That'll happen a few times with us.
And Shoya also blamed himself as the victim, but he did basically quarter of the movie in, and it was a growth over years that we saw it. So his weakness was him blaming himself for the harassment to Shoko when it was brought up to the attention to Shoko's mom and Shoya's mom basically paying for the lost hearing aids that has been damaged in his harassment attempts. The reason why I say harassment is it wasn't intentional, but just because something's not intentional doesn't mean it's not classified as harassment. So for that being said, getting that attention, even if you're putting someone as the victim, that is a tendency to be an escalated, over-the-top scenario. So with that being said, you also have to know if the harassment was justified. No, it's not. In Shoya's mind, he didn't know. So it kind of goes to show you his inner struggle when he actually realized what he was actually doing and the impact of what he was doing. He started feeling it in a different way and had a parallel to Shoka.
Yep. That's going to be the case. Most autistics do not know what they're doing is wrong until they're told it's wrong. We don't have that kind of programming to tell. We don't have the programming that most of us, if we're younger, do not come with that natural programming of telling us what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, we do have to be told by someone else that, up, you can't do this, up. You can technically do this, but you can't do that for very long.
Yeah, and it's also the ability to recognize empathy. We can sympathize with, people with ASD can sympathize with others greatly, but empathy is a problem for the simple aspect. Sometimes it's harder to understand certain emotions without direct truth being told in such a manner. For example,
for some of us looking for the telltale signs of emotions. I use the face for looking for emotions. It was tough during the pandemic.
Yeah. But most people with ASD can't really pick up on nonverbal communication. So that's why you have to look at tone of voice more instead of facial expression and body language. Most people can pick up on that, tell if something's wrong. But you, for a person with ASD, it has to be blatantly observed that something is wrong. It has to be told to them that something is wrong. And generally speaking, if someone does perceive something to be wrong with ASD, they just tend to say, oh, what's wrong with you? They don't really, they kind of loop it all together. So that person could be really sighing, and that's just sighing. Doesn't have to be something wrong with them. So you might be reading into certain characteristics and certain behaviors and just group them all together when they all could be separate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting in this aspect that Shoya wasn't able to tell that Shoko wasn't having it and was troubled by his actions. Because she also is limited in expressing herself, so it made it more difficult. So he can't really pick up on that as much.
Yes.
It's interesting that the parallel, when the confrontation happened, everyone just blamed Shoya for the incident. The hearing aids and all that stuff.
He wasn't fully to blame. It was his other friends who were doing it mostly. He was just doing it because his friends were doing it.
Well, he was the target of the most extreme with damaging the eardrums with the hearing aid.
Yeah, that, but before then, he was doing it because his friends were doing it.
And typically, if someone picks up on an action with ASD, sometimes it could become routine. So this was months and months in grade school that this was occurring. And it was finally the point, even after the hearing aid incident, Shoko still went to school. But it was the point that Shoya was getting teased and harassed himself. And literally took her to wiping his desk off with the graffiti, marking him as some villain, to basically call him, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it that way, he should have already learned the lesson when he was confronted with the hearing aids. Apparently, when he saw him, or he saw Shoko at his desk, he lashed out at her. And in defense, Shoko lashed out at him, causing the situation where the camel break its camel's back. The last straw. So in that incident, enough was enough. Shoko didn't want to have it. Because she really did try to understand Shoya, and no one wanted to understand her. But it's not Shoko's necessarily fault for trying to be friends with everyone. She didn't have anyone. So interacting in the way she knew was limited. She can speak, but not in the best manner that was preferred by a regular speaker. Because she was deaf, she couldn't always form the right pronunciation. As like, we'll just say when she sung songs, she was out of tune with everyone else.
And she also entered offbeat. She wasn't paying attention to, she didn't have the ability to pay attention to when her cue was.
Yes. So that gives perspective of basically she's speaking what you might have inaudible scenario. She might be speaking, but you might not understand all of it in the way she's speaking. So she's the type of person on a screen that will require subtitles to clearly state what they're saying, which they did with some version of the sign language too.
I thought that was a nice touch to have some of the characters learn how to do sign language so she can easily understand them.
Well, yeah, because sign language was what she mostly used as a way to tell situations instead of writing in the notebook. Notebook was limited, but provided the first introduction. But over time, just keep having a notebook wasn't enough. Because people were able to say that she could understand audio. Not great, but she could understand it and have somewhat of a conversation. So
it was not good. It was not good. It did the job, but not very well.
So, but yeah, that's kind of was the, you know, Shoko's perspective and Shoya's perspective, but kept being told after she transferred schools. Well, 3 years later, when he's 18, and he's still pretty much still heavily affected from the transgression of the transfer from Shoko and the incident where he paid for the hearing aids. Because his friend spread the rumor back in high school where he at. So he kind of had a mistrust that everyone treated him different in his eyes.
Which leads to one of the gimmicks of the film, which is if you're not friends with the main character, you're gonna have a nice, lovely blue X over your face. Notably, yeah. That it hides your face. It hides the facial expressions. It hides what the emotions would be. But once he gets to know the person or he is on good terms with said person, the X comes off.
Yeah. And the reason why the symbol of the X is so important, he got to the point where he wouldn't look people in the eyes. So instead of looking them in the eyes and the face, he looked at the ground. So every time he walked, he looked down to avoid direct eye contact. Because he didn't feel like these people were, you know, good to know. He didn't want to know anyone. He wanted to isolate himself because he didn't feel like he deserved recognition, friends again. That he deserved everything that happened to him from grade school onward.
And the eye contact thing is actually quite common for autistic people. Autistic people find it fairly difficult, and sometimes they have the inability to have direct eye contact with someone for a long period of time. We are not very good at staring contests. We sometimes prefer to look away. We sometimes might look somewhere else. But yeah. we're not doing that because we don't want to. It's just it's uncomfortable for us to maintain eye contact for a period of time. How long? Well, that depends on the person.
Well, for the initial part of the conversation, eye contact happens. Like, they look at you when they talk. ASB. But at the same time, prolonged periods of contact can be difficult for the strain on the eyes. A lot of times, people with ASD or Asperger's like to, how do I say it? They like to actually do other stuff. So they like to watch the TV while talking. Or they might have the music in the background as well. Or, say, fidgeting with something in their hand while they're talking to you. That is normal things for them to might do.
I say, am I being called out? Because that's literally what I'm doing.
Well, I'm doing it now. Sometimes when I'm recording, I have an object and I just slightly move it in my hand, and that's what I do.
We just need something.
Not all the time. It's just a habitual thing. It's just something that subconsciously you do as a routine manner type behavior.
It's known as I don't know how it's pronounced, but it starts with an S. There actually is a term for this. It might be similar to that, but essentially it's just something that the person does in order to maybe calm their nerves. For me, it's tapping my foot to the beat of something, or maybe even snapping my fingers a few times, mess with my hair. These are common habits.
It's called repetition. Most people tend to repeat things they do as a coping mechanism, and they don't like change.
This is obvious.
Yeah. So Shoya's routine was basically looking at the ground and not looking at people's faces. Isolate himself. Doesn't think he deserves to have friends of any caliber. And we actually see the first best friend in such a very long time. And that was the guy on the bicycle. Get his name. He's basically his supporting friend.
I would have called him supportive at first, but he acted pretty cool. He was like clingy during the film. Was that just me, or?
Okay.
He probably also had difficulty making friends.
Shoya butting in on someone trying to steal his bike.
They needed to use it.
Yeah. So he offered his instead, and then he actually found the bike later in some rice field and was actually trying to look for the bike. So him as a supporting character has been clingy. Well, I think Shoya needed it. Kind of. That friend that will not leave his side. That friend to actually open his eyes a little bit more to the vision of his life, that he's not as bad as he thought he was.
Mm-hmm. And he should probably go apologize for what he did and maybe try to make amends with what had happened in the past.
Well, that's why the making amends aspect was when he saw Shoko, he had an opportunity to do that. But then it turned into a moment to really be heartfelt and be friends. It just took that extra boost to do it. You know, that one incentive of getting more bread for the koi fish as an excuse to go meet her again.
Although he had one obstacle in his way, and that would be Sho's sister.
Yes, Shoko's sister, Yuriki, I think.
I thought it was pronounced Yuri. I must have heard something else.
Or Yuri Kine or something like that.
It starts with a Y. I know that.
I know. Yuri's fine. It's probably, I think, a nickname.
Yeah, I think it is. She pretends to be her boyfriend for a while in order to maintain some distance.
Yeah, that was interesting until the supporting best friend wanted to pick a fight with Yuriki.
Mm-hmm. And then have a little fun with the camera.
Yeah. Perspective on the camera was them actually meeting at the koi fish pond. Yuriki was inventing dialogue that wasn't actually happening when they were actually signing American Sign Language back and forth, because Shoyo learned how to sign. So he was actually speaking to Shoko in a normal conversation. He wanted to not let things go, but be friend, you know, as the sign goes.
Yep.
You know, kind of hug together, like a handshake.
Yep. He wanted to make amends. He wanted to try to fix things.
And it took a lot of periods in the movie for that to happen. Like the different stages was transfer, them both overcoming the incident, them meeting together, but still having loose ends being tied up for both of their characters to really deal with the trauma at hand. They're both affected by it. And of course, everyone else that was brought into it is also as part of reconciliation as well.
They also have a part of it as well, whether they were a part of it in the past or in the present.
Well, yeah, because you have the transfer, both individuals finally meeting up, them individually coping with it, and then the group's effort to cope with it, and then the breakdown of the group back to the individual self to recover. So, and to the point Shoko had to basically turn the tables 360 and actually learn it's not always her fault. That she's not always the cause. That Shoya blames himself just as much as Shoko does.
They both realized, if my memory is correct, and it probably should be, they both had to realize this after almost falling to their death from a I want to say there was a second-story building. I'm not sure how high that
The attempt of Shoko finally trying to give up and be on the top of the balcony. Shoyu trying to get there, falling in the middle of the table in the room, trying to get to her, barely catching her in time, and then they switching places, him going in the water and being hospitalized.
And put in a coma.
Yeah, he was put in a coma, but he got out of it.
Yes.
But they also had a linked dream as well. So the dream was linked. So he somehow miraculously got out of the coma by having the same dream as Shoko.
And then immediately after waking up, he immediately goes to the pond where she is, and they both have that moment of reassurance, I want to say.
Yeah. It's weird how the roller coaster effect was applied in the movie so early on and still was driving tension in the middle. The main tension was the entire incident that no one could, that's why the group's coping was so important. It made them realize that everyone was affected. But it still allowed the group to break up, to reform after the individual self was actually applied in Shoko and Shoya's case.
Yes.
So those four stages of the storyline was important to grow the characters of Shoya and Shoko respectively, and also the supporting characters that played along the journey. It basically opened up that there's a potential to have friends. And in doing so, you have the friends to back you up.
And now you have the, and now he has some, now he has people to fall back on if maybe the trauma does come back another day. He's got people to fall back on.
And, you know, in Shoko's defense, she always held up the smile, even though that smile might have been the best approach, but she didn't know any other approach. So the only approach she knows was keep having a smile to encourage others to be friendly for her to be friendly towards them and hopefully have friendly back at her, which is the opposite of what actually happened. Some people didn't relate to that. And, you know, that was a confrontation years in the making that, you know, the only character that was true after the, in the group setting, was the one that was still true towards the end. The Ferris wheel.
Oh, the Ferris wheel moment. I'll give them credit for sneaking a camera onto a Ferris wheel to record that. But I'm the one that's like, that's like the plot, the fact that that happened, I'm surprised that was not brought back up again as a major plot point. Or were they just pretend?
I mean, it kind of was.
Kind of.
Well, I mean, considering her actions were still show you in the hospital, she's having a fight with Shoko, and then the mom having a fight with her, and then Shoyu's mom breaking it up. So.
That's the one at the moment to root for the mom.
Yeah. And, you know, the mom that wasn't really fast with Shoyu as much. It was really weird with Yuri Ricci having the photography and the photo.
If you I mean, one of the first scenes she did was with the camera. Was with the camera, so it was obvious that she was into. She did have a thing for cameras and longer photography. And she also, she kind of does her connection with photography also connects something with some autistic people. Some of us have a talent beyond, some of us do have a good talent. I have a very good example of that. But most of us do, most of us, some of us might lack that confidence saying, is what I do good? Or will people actually like it? Do people like me for what I do? Etc.
But the specialized skills or aspect or skills or certain things that you excel at, it's called a fixed interest. So in a fixed interest mindset, they tend to stick with, you know, 1 to 5 things they like. They don't usually deviate from it much. And they just really get into it more and more and more. And in that fixed mindset, they excel at it because they had so much time to develop the particular interest to the point where it became a specialized skill.
I have a list. I'm kidding. But in all fairness, that is, there is a list somewhere of what I can do, which would probably be art. I'm learning about writing. Animation seems to be another good one. I do like looking up cartoons as well as music. If I like your music, I'm saying no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
True. You know, fixed interests, like for example, if you have someone who's really good at academics, that fixed interest might be principal's list because of the grades. And then they get really involved into, say, band. For example, they like band to the point where they took all 4 years of band. And then as a result, they have a strong interest in it and may be able to do something with it, either play music or have the appreciation for music and remember the good times when they were in band.
I'm going to say, don't remind me. I did 7 years of band because it was a fixed interest of mine. And 4 of those were marching band. So don't remind me.
Well, you're probably the perfect example to bring up.
You picked Ben. Why did you pick Ben? That was one of my fixed interests. There was a period of time in my life where I was like, "Ooh, I want to play the cello or the tuba." I did not get to play either. I got the bass clarinet.
Yeah.
It's still a big instrument. I still got to play.
Well, the areas that I had taken a really keen interest in, it was, you know, recording was big for me. I did that all 4 years. Mass communication was probably my biggest since when I was introduced to yearbook in eighth grade. So, you know, visuals, graphic design, stuff like that was pretty heavy apparent. And overall, speaking to people has been something that I've been doing the longest time. I just really like the energy from speaking with someone, which kind of translated to the podcast where I speak and do video technology and recording and audio.
Yes.
So it just goes to show you that fixed interests, such as Yoriichi's photography, could be very apparent. Though Yoriichi's photography was a little bit plot-driven in the aspect of resemblance and the symbol of death. They knew that Shoko had the inability to live and knew that she wasn't happy, that she always blamed herself if she didn't fit in. Shoyo also had that realization when he literally tried to save like a million yen and off himself. And then his mom found out and threatened to burn the money, which she accidentally did.
Mm-hmm.
So the photos that Yoriichi took was the only way that she could try to help her sister in a way that death is not the answer. But it still had an adverse effect because she actually tried to do the ultimate action related to the pictures.
Yeah.
Which is the entire storytelling mechanism
used. It's like, good idea. Yeah. You might want to work on that execution there.
And the thing is, Shoko's just death, but it's the lack of understanding that she had from people that kind of pushed her in a way to think, psychoanalyze herself in a way that was harmful. Just like Shoyo. Shoko's problem that she thought it was her fault with something she did for people to react to her the way they did. And Shoyo thought it was his fault he got everything he deserved because what he did to Shoko. He couldn't deserve to have any friends, which is opposite from the truth. And it wasn't Shoko's fault. She just didn't know how to express herself in a way to connect thoroughly with people in a way that actually was meaningful.
And most autistic people have that issue. Making friends with people has, and socializing in general for some people is very difficult when we don't mm-hmm. have the ability to fully understand what's going on. Like not being able to understand when someone is mad at them, or understanding that maybe we dumped too much information about our favorite interests on these guys. Why are they walking away? It's only been an hour.
Well, I mean, if you're going to talk about interest, you need to do it in a way that's, if you haven't time spent, then the day is fine to express the interest, because that's generally okay. But to express the interest immediately is kind of a socially awkwardness that a lot of people with ASD have. And that presents a problem in itself, because social awkwardness is hard to recover from if that's the first impression.
Yep. They'll just imply them as the weird kid who likes this and that. It's why I didn't say it. It's why I kept the fact I liked My Little Pony a secret when I was in high school. I'm like, I'm not going to become associated with that. I'm going to keep it to myself. Thank you very much.
Well, it's also the weird impression backed up by the special status.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very apparent in the ASD community. Which is also very apparent in mental health overall. Typically, people will treat you different because you're not like them. You're the minority, but they don't want to understand you. Just like Shoya really didn't try to understand Shoko, and the people around her at this grade school also didn't try to understand Shoko.
They just wrote her as a weird kid, and didn't try to interact any further than, say, maybe a tease, a boy, etc.
And Shoko tried too hard to gain their friendship.
Some autistic kids come off like that sometimes. They try really, really hard. They try really, really hard. I really want to be friends with you. I really do. Wait. Aw, didn't work. Next one.
Yeah. I mean, you find that supporting people for them. But a lot of ways, the supporting roles for people with ASD kind of is limited if they don't find someone that they connect with that understands them for who they are.
If not, your social life is going to be bad. And that means your school life is also going to be pretty underwhelming.
Well, yeah, school setting is definitely a challenge to building the younger relationship early on. I mean, it gets better as you grow older, but as you grow older, there's also different challenges.
One said, maybe we have not had the ability to be accustomed to. I still have to ask how to do taxes. Because they didn't teach us that in school.
But taxes is easy. You just get your W-2 and file it under the job description.
This is the reason why my parents are still the ones doing my taxes.
I mean, there's two main taxes. W-2s, which is the company contribution, and the employer's contribution. So the employee does something, and the employer do a half contribution to taxes and FICA and all that stuff. Then you have the 1099, which is a contractor role where someone's paying you, but they're not directly paying the FICA taxes, which you have to cover yourself at the end of the year. So those are the two main taxes, but there's also tax breaks, dependents, property taxes, donation up to a certain amount to write off, rental taxes and travel and all that other stuff to configure with doing taxes.
But oh joy. We're getting off topic.
Generally speaking,
that's also proof.
The only things in life that's going to happen is death and taxes. So, with a silent voice, you have at least one of those applications applied.
Multiple times.
Too many times. There's a central theme.
Yeah. I would have loved a warning before. I would have loved the warning. I don't deal with that kind of stuff on that as a norm, so I like having a bit of a trigger warning, if that's the correct term for it. That didn't sour my opinion on the film, but a warning would have probably been nice on the first viewing.
True, but didn't you have the capacity to look more up about it?
Good point. That's why I get surprised when I find out, wait, that represented depression? I would have never guessed.
What, a silent voice?
That, and there was another example in my head, but that's off topic.
Well, I did tell you that show you had the main character had tendencies with Asperger's syndrome, which is probably the closest to the autism spectrum umbrella that April, month of April, is.
You are talking to someone who was diagnosed with Asperger's at the age of 5. I would know very well what you're talking about.
Exactly. So it was kind of like, okay, well, you have a character that could be potentially here. Social anxiety, lack of eye contact, tend to isolate themselves, and when the times get tough, don't throw back and give up.
That sounds okay. That was almost too relatable.
I mean, yeah, that's his tendencies. So you can argue that, you know, even though those are characteristics of ASD, doesn't mean he's officially diagnosed with that in the franchise. He just has social anxiety and depression to commit suicide. So, but social anxiety, depression, and the overlap with mental health as a whole, just because it's very general, just like anyone can have social anxiety. Anyone
perhaps the depression comes from the fact that he hasn't been diagnosed. By the way, it looks like his family often did complain about money issues, at least early in the film, not to a degree that it's noticeable, but I feel like they might have been having some issues with money, because you actually have to pay money to get someone diagnosed with either ADHD or be called autistic. You have to pay for the test to declare your kid or teen or adult as autistic.
Yeah, sometimes you get an official diagnosis, and that's typically how it goes.
Sometimes they might not have been able to diagnose it because the symptoms that might have been there were minor and can't be picked up by their testing protocols.
True. Or you just didn't have someone that could say, oh, you should get tested. Typically, is that person in that life, you should get tested, is when you get tested.
That would have been my parents because, as I said before, diagnosed at the age of 5, it was noticeable immediately that I was way too energetic I was way too energetic at the time. So they're like, we're going to go get your test. I'm going to go get tested. You have this thing called Asperger's. I hope you enjoy.
Yeah. Well, in your diagnosis, you think mental health wise that you like Shoko, you're a little more like Shoya?
I mean, I didn't. The struggle made me root for them because I didn't want them to get further down to depression. So I'm like,
what? Okay.
I hope things are for the better.
Shoko, or do you see yourself more of a Shoya? That's the question.
I think it's because I have a friend who's partially deaf. I'm gonna pick Shoya. Hope I picked the right name.
Shoya is the one who's the main character. Shoko is the main supporting role. He's deaf.
Like I said, names, deaf. Not very good at them.
Could have the social anxiety that we all really know in depression. So you want to rephrase that, or you still want to pick with Shoya?
I was gonna. Is both an option here?
You can choose both.
Okay, I'll pick both.
I see. Kind of on the lines of Shoya, just a little bit. But that's besides the point. With the main point of a silent voice. What do you think of them discussing mental health and the capacity that they did as a case study overall?
I say they kind of prove that everyone who is diagnosed with some kind of disorder, even if it's mental or physical or whatever, they will still need they'll need that attention, and they'll also need to know what to do. They'll also need to know how to deal with this. Sometimes, even if them just admitting that they have an issue can bring them together. It's more if someone else can have similar issues than me, well, of course it's going to be relatable for me, and we'll probably become good friends.
True. And overall, mental health wise, I would say anyone has the ability to talk it out. Maybe go seek help. Whatever, it's professional help, personal friend. You always need that sidekick along the way to support you. If you don't have the support system, you're going to crumble underneath all the pressure.
You need to have a firm foundation, and you also need to have people who are willing to see, who are willing and want to see you succeed despite your disorder, your disability.
Yeah, if you're giving up, you don't want them to give up on you. So you have that person and his newfound best friend who is very self-proclaimed protector of Shoya. So, you need that protector in your life. Person who won't give up on you. Despite the hardship, despite the obstacles you might give them, and the reactions you might do as a person. And, you know, in a way, limit yourself with the mental health as well. Mm-hmm. You need to be able just to don't fault you for being yourself. That's another important lesson to take from all of this. You are your own key individual, and you as the individual are very important, regardless if anyone else sees it or not.
And if you can't see that, well, you can head over to where you can head over to my Twitter, and I can tell you how you stand out.
And
everyone has a voice. Everyone deserves to have a voice, and that voice needs to be heard.
Well, the voice is not just a statistic. You're not just a person speaking out. You could be the person speaking out. So you don't know if your voice is insignificant or not. Just say it. It matters to somebody. It doesn't matter if it matters to a large group of people.
Someone will care. We don't know who, but someone will care.
With that being said, what are your final thoughts on a silent voice or mental health as
I gave the film on a scale of 1 to 10, I gave it an 8, and I will give it the recommendation to check it out. Depending on if you're on the fence about, if you're on the fence regarding your health or depressed, I think checking out the film would be a good idea. At least if you want to be thinking about it in the right direction.
True. What I gotta say about a silent voice is this. Remember, everyone has the challenges that they face. It's how you face them what sets you apart. If you run away from it, fine. But at some point, you're gonna confront it and do something about it. Don't let it catch up to the point where you're literally falling off on a balcony and switching places with someone else into the water. That might not be the best approach. Or thinking about saving all your money, give it to your family member, and then go off in an afterlife. That's not the best way to approach it either. So either way you look at it, save your money, but try to save your money while you're alive.
I'm on it. Now secure the bank account now.
But yeah, save the time and save your money, but also spend the time necessary to build yourself from that foundation that's so important to have. Without it, how can we say you are you if you don't have it?
You have a point.
But yeah, this wraps up Case Study, A Silent Voice, episode of the MC Anime Podcast. First of all, thank you for being here, sharing your testimony, who you have been, how you have been, and your relation to both Shoko and Shoya as the characters you identify in the movie.
Well, thank you for having me.
Where can they find you in case they missed it at the beginning?
Of course. You can find me at Shapeshift16 on Twitter, uppercase the first S. That is the same tag I use on Tumblr. And for Discord, it's actually going to be Crystal the BTR Alipup. That's where you can find me on Discord.
All right. Well, you can find us on every major platform of podcast, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So with that, this episode is a close. Thank you for being here. Case Study, A Silent Voice is completely done. And also remember, when hearing this episode, April was or is the month of autism, and April 2nd as World Autism Day globally. So remember that the next time you think about someone with those traits. Doesn't have to be exactly diagnosed. Just keep it in the back of your head. You know?
That who knows? Said, you could have a friend that's masking their autistic traits.
True. Sometimes they come off as high functioning and very mild.
I'm classified as high functioning because they're dropping Asperger's.
True. And that's also one of the high functioning aspects of Shoya. He didn't directly show it, but has tendencies to show it. So,
yes.
Anyway, thank you for being here, and it was a blast having you.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.